people are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
While it's necessary to understand what the federal government can and is doing about the foreclosure crisis, it's also important to view the problem and the steps being taken toward a solution at the local level. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and on this edition of the Affordable Housing Podcast, my guest is Contra Costa County Supervisor John Gioia, who works tirelessly to help those in his district who risk losing their homes. Welcome, Supervisor.
Good to be here.
So Contra Costa County is experiencing more than its share of foreclosures this year, is it not?
We have. We've been hard hit. We've been one of the Bay Area counties that has been the hardest hit on foreclosures, especially parts of Far East County, which was a high-growth area, the Brentwood-Oakley area, Antioch, and parts of West Contra Costa County, the Richmond-San Pablo area. And we've seen housing prices drop literally. They've dropped, values are half of what they were 2 years ago. So,
and lots of empty homes.
Lots of empty homes, which have caused a lot of other issues like dealing with vacant properties, dealing with vandalism. In fact, we recently passed an ordinance to shorten the period of time that would pass for us to be able to go in and clean up properties that are vacant, because neighbors were complaining and saying, gee, we have all, you know, all these homes on our block are vacant, they're being vandalized, the lawn's overgrown, can you come in and help? So those are some of the problems that are occurring.
On the other hand, it's a great time for people to buy that first home, right?
It is. It's a good time to buy if you can get financing. And
that's a big if.
That is a big if.
It's getting a little better, though, isn't it?
It's a little better. And if you have good credit and you know what you're doing, it's a good time to be a first-time home buyer. Problem is, if you're also trying to move, then you have the problem of selling your existing home.
All right. What kinds of things can be done at the county and the city level to impact the foreclosure crisis?
The biggest thing we focused on is how to get counseling services early enough.
As preventative.
So people can make a determination of whether it's worth trying to save their home. Because in some cases, if the value of your home is well below your mortgage, your loan, in some cases, it may not make sense to try to save it. The other thing that's happening is once people have gotten into foreclosure, trying to educate homeowners so that they don't further complicate the problem by being scammed. Because what we're finding a lot of are people who get a notice of foreclosure, it's of course a public record, get contacted by someone who wants to help them save their home, but in fact, they're trying to rip them off again. And so our district attorney has actually, Bob Coakley, has taken the step of sending letters to individuals who receive a foreclosure notice, informing them of the kinds of things to be aware of so that they're not taken advantage of.
John, there's been a lot of promise of federal funds to aid homeowners who face foreclosure. Are you seeing any of that money yet?
We're seeing a little. There have been several cities and the county here that have received an allotment of federal dollars. We received in the county $6 million for what we call a neighborhood stabilization program. I think it's too little too late. I mean, that same amount of money provided a year or two ago to keep people in their homes would have been better. But essentially, what we've done with that money is we're developing a program to go in and purchase and rehabilitate properties in particular communities where there's been a high rate of foreclosure, and then basically turn around and sell the property.
Individual. So it's really like getting into a whole new business for you.
Yes, it is. Well, we do have our redevelopment agency has been very good about home ownership programs, so it's an extension of that. But the problem is we estimate with this $6 million, we may be able to, obviously the quicker you do this work, you can turn the money over and fix up another home. But, you know, we may at best be able to address 30 to 50 homes. That's not a lot. So that money is really not going to go a long ways. A
lot of red tape?
There's a lot of red tape, but we're trying to, we're trying to get through the federal requirements so we can get the money out and buy and rehabilitate and sell some homes. We are continuing to focus on counseling. We're working with nonprofit housing developers that work with the public on counseling. We're working with housing rights and Beria Legal Aid and housing and economic rights advocates as well, who are providing legal advice to individuals. Again, the sooner somebody seeks advice, the better off, and that's what we're trying to get across. We had a community town hall meeting on this last fall. Hundreds of people showed up, and these were people who mostly had received notices of foreclosure and didn't know what to do. And it's clear there's a lot of fear.
And are there cultural and language barriers that make it even worse?
There are, and there's specific issues in the African-American, Latino, and Southeast Asian communities as well. And in the Latino community, where there's often a distrust of or a hesitation about the role of government. So we've had to use culturally competent individuals who can address the unique needs of each community.
The counseling, it would seem to me, is a good short-term solution. What are some of the long-term solutions that you see?
Well, I mean, the first thing in thinking about all this is having some correction in rising home values is a good thing, because
it was a little out of control.
It was out of control before the prices dropped.
Darn it! Why didn't I sell my house then?
There you go. I mean, it's, and then turn around and buy in Texas, right? Of course, who wants to live in
Texas? Brentwood?
Who wants to live in Texas? But 10 to 15% of residents in the county could afford a median price of a home here before the prices dropped. Obviously, homes are more affordable now, and so. The problem is that this drop in value has also dramatically impacted the ability of our cities and the county to provide services, because our main source of revenue, property taxes, has gone down.
So there needs to be a shift there, right?
Yes. In fact, for the first time in decades, we are seeing an actual decrease in property tax revenues in the county, which means the important services, police, fire, libraries, all of those are being cut back because of this crisis. And experts predict it's going to be a couple of years before we really get out of this. So I think we're just in a different way of life, and we have to get used to it. There's nothing that government can do to solve this problem on its own. It's going to take a while.
Boy, I wonder if someone's going to try to overturn Prop 13 at this point.
Prop 13 has been, I think, a bad thing for local government. There's a need to go to a split role where businesses are treated differently than residential properties. In fact, if you look at Contra Costa, industrial and commercial properties pay a much smaller percent of the total property taxes in this county than they did prior to Prop 13, because first, they don't turn over as often as residential properties. And so what you're seeing is government services being underfunded. Our legislators have been working hard on trying to change Prop 13. However, I think people believe if you try to tinker with Prop 13, you're going to price them out of their home. And I think we have to get across the message that that's not true. We want to address just business and commercial properties, you know, and not affect residential properties, and get that message that you're not going to lose your home. In fact, we'll have more services to help keep you in your home if we can amend Prop 13 in a fair way.
So we have a new administration in Washington, and as a result, a new director of housing and urban development. Are you hopeful that affordable housing will be higher on the priority list, and that the administration will take affordable housing very seriously and put a lot of attention in that area?
I'm very hopeful, because I think California is going to have a greater influence with this administration than under the Bush administration. And clearly, affordable housing has been a bigger issue in California than in many other parts of the country. We were in one of the most expensive housing markets here in the Bay Area. And I'm hopeful that the Obama administration will hear the concerns of markets like the Bay Area and really provide more assistance. It's not an easy answer, but at least having more attention from the federal government to this issue would be good. With the prior administration, you know, Texas wasn't a problem on affordable housing. I think what we're looking to at the local level is more ability of the federal government to help fund housing programs. We're also converting some of our housing authority properties over to private ownership. So that's a trend that started several years ago, and hopefully that will also provide more opportunities.
Excellent. John Gioia, Contra Costa County Supervisor, thanks so much for being on the Affordable Housing Podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.